ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 8. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The devil would be glad to give you a bunch of songs. And if you want an illustration to get a little wake-up call in your heart, if it's something that you're prone to hearing songs and saying, that's the way I like church to be done, I just want you to know, there's nothing wrong with songs. It's when songs become the tail that wags the dog. Because now what we have is we have worship leaders in our churches, which used to be the pastors who led in worship by leading us all toward prayer and toward Christ and toward deeper knowledge, because we're understanding more and getting more from Him. But understand this, many times, if you're going to have a worship team, many times you're going to have to ask yourself, are they even saved? Because we have to fill a position. You see, you can't have worship leaders who are lost people. I know of a local church in our area that actually had a worship team that needed a drummer, and they just picked a guy, and he became part of the team. I know a guy in the Hillsong group. He was a homosexual fellow who was leading and had homosexual couples inside of their team. And this is Hillsong, one of the most prolific groups out there, because they publish all these songs and all these records and they make all kinds of bank. And there's a lot of things in this world that are deceiving to the church of Laodicea. Laodicea is when the people rule. It's they tell the pastors what they want and the pastors give it to them. Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, not willing to endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear doctrine. Do you know that the most effective YouTube video is about 10 minutes and 30 seconds. In other words, if you put a video on there of a full message, people aren't interested in that. They want a 10 minutes and 30 second thing. And that's our concentration right now in this overly entertained society. What am I saying? I'm saying that those people who are coming out of Great Tribulation are not the true born church. They're raptured. People who are born again are going up. Praise God. We get out of here. We'll hear it. Meet the Lord in the air. But there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be rudely awakened, and they're going to say, you know, I know it. I've heard this. I was in church. I might have been when I was a kid. I heard that taught. Oh, I went to this other church, but I heard it. And they're going to find out that now they've been taught nothing but social gospel, and they've been taught anti-Semitism. Come on, really? That's taking away your blessed hope, because if God can throw Israel off, He can throw you off. God is a covenant-keeping God. He cannot lie, and He never breaks His word. And He said, I will never let you, David, cease to have a seed to sit upon the throne in your kingdom forever. Jesus is the seed of David, but He's also the root of David. But He's the seed of David. He's the branch. And He's the one who will sit upon the throne in the millennial kingdom. You get willy-nilly with the Word of God and you're going to get in trouble. The Bible says that the time of silence is over. Multitudes are going to get saved in chapter 7, it tells us. And those multitudes, I believe, are a lot of those people who were deceived. And now, they will be having to lay down their lives in order to confirm their testimony. You can get saved either the easy way or the hard way at this point in time. I suggest to you, you run to the ark now. Run to the cross now. Run to Jesus now. Get saved. Follow Christ. Do it His way. Figure it out. Give your attention to it just like you would if you had a physical ailment and you didn't know what to do. You'd go to doctor after doctor. You'd get a second opinion. You'd try to figure it out. Listen, we've got the disease called sin, and all of us are sinners. We have a disease. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But praise be unto God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need Him. And you're not getting out without Him. And each one of us needs to answer to Him personally. And when you understand what He saved you from, not just hell, which is a fringe benefit, but He saves us from sin. Okay? So if a person say, oh, I got saved because I prayed a prayer, that all sounds good. And yes, the promise is if you call on Him, you shall be saved. But if you don't know what you're calling on Him for, what are you asking for? Are you asking to be saved because your marriage is in trouble? God, please save me. I just need to be saved. My wife is leaving me. My husband is leaving me. You're sick. God, save me. I'm gonna die here. I just, please save me. And you say, well, it says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not talking about saved from your sickness, saved from your discord in your life. It's talking about being saved from sin. The thing that's threatening your soul is sin. And if you don't understand that, then you're asking on a false premise. You're asking on a temporal level. You're in a foxhole in Vietnam back in the day, and you called out, dear God, save me, and I'll do anything for you. Martin Luther, for instance, he said, God, I'll do anything. I'll become a monk when he was in that lightning storm on that fateful day. But he didn't get saved until he started parsing the words in the book of Romans. And he said, not to him that worketh his righteousness reckoned, but to him that worketh not and yet believeth. You see, he was told all about working. And there's a lot of people who are working for their salvation. They think it's works. It's not works. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. We know that Christ alone is the one who saves. He's the Savior. And so all those people who are lost but are in church are going to go through that first half. Think about that. Think about that. You see, people who are going to be ready for the deceiver and the Antichrist to come, the white horse rider, the people who are going to be ready for that, they're not going to get saved during that time. They're looking for somebody to be a deliverer. They're looking for somebody to be a white horse rider. They're going to applaud him and they're going to give him laudation, in fact, worship. I had a guy this past week tell me he thought President Trump was the Savior. He used the word. He thinks he's coming back and that he's the Savior. This is the spirit of the age. Do you remember a couple of years ago, they started talking about apocalypse is in the air. Everybody's thinking apocalypse is in the air. Well, it's more so than ever now. They have TV series where all these series are all about apocalypse. All about the apocalypse. There's a new movie out called Greenland. It's like there's a verse in there where they're quoting a verse about the angels throwing stars. It's a meteor shower and everybody's running to Greenland to hide underground. I'm telling you, this world is understanding what's going on and the devil is telegraphing the people right now that they need to focus on the future. And they're looking at the future rather than the present. I'm telling you what, the present needs to be focused on. And the present is that there's a half an hour of silence that you need to know about. And that's when people are going to be martyred. Underneath the altar were the martyrs saying, how long, O Lord? And then we see who they are in chapter 7. And in chapter 8, he says that half an hour of my silence is over. And I'm saying to you, there was natural consequences, natural progression of things for 3.5 years. God does not step in. The white horse rider comes. The unfolding of the anarchy, the unfolding of the famine, the unfolding of the death that will take place in this world. Think about that. This is natural consequences. Why would these things happen? Well, if you've got Black Lives Matter and you've got Portland turned into an autonomous zone and you've got those going down in Missouri and you've got racial upheavals and then all of a sudden you take out the church, you take out the blue lives, you take out, suddenly you've got anarchy. If the rapture happens and the world goes into a state of confusion, people are going to say, there's a lot of houses empty in this area. Let's go in there. And then they're fighting and they're killing one another. And then what about Gates and these different people, China buying up all the land, all the farmland? Why? Why are they buying up your farmland in America? We're the breadbasket of the world. They're buying it up. And then they're spraying it with all kinds of genetically modified things. You're living in a day where you're going to have people with anarchy. You're going to have people in the day that we're living that will come to a place where there's going to be famine. I don't know if you've noticed the change in your meat, but I go to a place out here on the edge of town. You might want to check it out. And some of you Shelby folks know about it. Planktown Market. Right out by Planktown Market, there's a little place up the road from it, about half a mile up on the right, past it. There's a place there that sells meat that is locally grown. I'm telling you, the hamburger has texture. You remember the red slime thing? What I'm saying is, I'm making the point, famine. They've already manipulated your meat. Do you know right now that Israel has figured out how to make with those 3D printers fake meat? Do you know that Bill Gates is saying right now that he wants people who are more wealthy than the poorest among us to have fake meat and fake food while the poorest among us get real meat? Why is that? What is going on? What am I saying? Famine. And what's in those things? What is in the red slime? Do your research. Do your duck-duck-go. Find out what these things are. Because we are at the cusp of this thing. Famine. Some of you have noticed that your shelves are a little less full than they once were. You go into the marketplace and they're a little less full. They're going to get less full than they are now. And I'm telling you, this is a scary time to live if you're a lost person. If you're a saved person, you're running your race. Remember Paul said, I've finished my course, right? If you're on your course, do you know what you do at the end of the race? You lead in to hit the tape. You want to win the prize. So when you have your eyes in your head and you understand what's going on, you understand that that famine is going to bring forth death. Jesus said there's going to be pestilence. That's in the land now. That's all birth pangs. He said, birth pangs. We're in pestilence. There's going to be anarchy, famine, and death. And it's going to be a real death in those days. Right now, we're talking about a pandemic. The first part is pan means all. Endemic means your flesh. You got all flesh. All flesh is touched by COVID. Is that true? It's not true. Not all flesh is touched by it. Not in the sense that it's killing people. See, a pandemic would be something where they're really carrying out a lot of body bags. Does a lot of people get it? Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, we don't even know. Who are you going to trust, right? But I'm telling you, you and I are living in some crazy times and they are manipulating us. I've read a number of people who said that the virus was packaged for the purpose of getting us to the vaccine. Think about that. Not that the vaccine was made for the virus. Just let that stew in your mind. Write it down somewhere, read it over and over again, and ask yourself about that. Now, the Bible says half an hour God's been silent. That's my point. Half an hour God's been silent. 3.5 years God let things go in a natural progression. They said, leave us alone. Break his cords from us. And he breaks his cords. That's Psalm 2. They wanted him to break his cords from them. And the Bible says that he's been silent for half an hour. And it says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. So now we're moving toward the unveiling of the seven trumpets and the seven bowl judgments. It says, and I saw another angel came and he stood at the altar in verse 3. We saw the altar in chapter 5. And he stood at the altar having a golden censer. Now, a censer is one of the things like a pan, but it's kind of like a ball or something in different ways they make them. But you might remember seeing it in a Catholic maybe funeral you've attended. They'll have a ball and there's smoke and they're kind of swinging it around with incense in it as an homage to this. It has no moorings in Christianity. It's a strictly Jewish kind of thing because the Jews had all of the patterns of the heavenly places. We're not living as patterns of the heavenly places. Listen. We don't have a temple. We are the temple. Okay? Can you get this? You are the temple. In those days, they had a temple that was a picture and pattern of the things in the heavens. We're told that in Hebrews. And you and I see that in the heavens, there's an altar of incense. And there's an altar. It was referenced a minute ago. And on that altar were offered. Why were the martyred saints under the altar? Why were they under there? It's because they were given as a testimony to all of the world that they woke up. The world right now is calling things that are being seen a great awakening. That people are beginning to say, I'm waking up to the fact that the liberals and the communists and the Marxists and the fascists are all here. That people are perverse and wicked and terrible at the highest echelons of power. They're calling that the great awakening. Well, it may be in a sense, but it's not a spiritual awakening. It's an awakening to more evil that we already countenance. Frog in the kettle thing. Think frog in the kettle. People were in the cool water. It's gotten warmer and warmer and warmer. And for some people, just being awakened to the fact that things are as evil as they are will just make them go darker. But for the people who deceived themselves that they were Christians, those people are going to be awakened to the fact that they were not Christians. That will be a day, wouldn't it? You wake up, you hear the radio, and you thought you were good. I got this. Got my get out of hell free card in my back pocket because I prayed a prayer. I was baptized. I went to church. I gave money. But I never loved Jesus. I never loved Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? The Bible says you shall love the Lord your God. Doesn't that sound weird to have that as a commandment? Do you know why he says that? He doesn't say it as a prohibitive. He's not saying you can't love anything else. He's just saying you will. You will love. You shall love the Lord your God. You see, when you do what you're supposed to do, you're walking in the easiest of paths for you.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.